Well, good day to you. Here we are at our second session today on faith and the power of God. And I enjoyed last week, and I trust that you will enjoy today just as much as I enjoyed last week. As we get started this morning, I just want to encourage you because there are some things going on in our world today that I believe that we need to walk in this power, and we'll probably have more to say about that next week. But let me just encourage you to listen today as we talk about faith and the power toward us. And that's when we say towards now, that's in and for us. In us to work in us and for us to work through us for others. So see yourself as a recipient of that power as we study today. And let it just come alive as we look at scriptures that I think will build on that. Father, we thank you for your word, and today we just thank you that you're going to just teach us more about pursuing you so that we can walk in your power. We thank you, Father, that we can walk in Jesus' footsteps as we studied last year about. We can step in those same places that he did as the Holy Spirit leads us to walk fullness in the fullness of your power in our lives. Amen and amen. We talked last week about faith and the power toward us. And as we talked about that, we saw that it was what? In us and for us. And we saw in Genesis 3, as we went back to the beginnings in Genesis 3 and Genesis 1, that God's words were spoken and they contained the power to bring things about. Holy Spirit acted on them. And we saw that with creation. We read in Romans 1:20. We read a number of verses there, but 1:20 just says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes," and then it emphasizes, "his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen." And so what we see there is that from creation, God's power has been key and instrumental in everything we see throughout the scripture. It goes back to that point. And I said several times last week, and I'll say it once more. If only men would believe, if only mankind would believe Genesis 1, I think a whole new revelation of the Word would open up for us. God actually said of himself in Isaiah 40, verse 25, "To whom then will you liken me that I should be his equal?" And then Isaiah followed on in 26 and told us to lift our eyes up and see the one who's created the stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name. Why? And how does he do it? Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. And then it goes on to say, not one of them is missing. So what the Lord wants us to see in this today is he wants us to see his power, and he wants us to see it in creation because, as we're going to get into today, he wants it to work through us. Now, we spent a long time last week looking at two scriptures in 1 Corinthians 1. And let me highlight just a couple of those. Verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1 talks about two people who do what? Who hear the same thing. And to one, it's power of God, and it produces what? Salvation in their lives. It produces a manifestation of power. Those words do. But for others, it's just pure foolishness. And Paul was teaching about the gospel of Jesus. And so what we begin to see is a manifestation of his power is impacted by how we see and how we hear those words that are being spoken. In the next several verses, 19 through 21, we saw that worldly wisdom won't reveal Jesus. You just can't see Jesus in the wisdom of the world. Yet men continue to seek it only. In verse 22, we see those two groups again. The Jews wanting a sign. In other words, they want to see power. And yet, the Greeks were wanting wisdom. They just pursue all kinds of, teach me something new, teach me something new. And unfortunately, that's where I find many of the people of God today, is I want to learn something new about your God. And I understand that if it's spoken with a true heart. But just to hear something that tickles our ears, as Timothy talks about, is not what we need in today's world. So again, what is true back then is absolutely true to now, because there are some in the church who just want to see the power. And I do too. But it has to be together with wisdom. And that's what really verse 23 and 24 says to us, is that to us, Christ crucified is both what? The power and the wisdom. And we need both. Wisdom without a power to back it up, it's not productive. So we got that set, that to us, the Word is both wisdom and power, and there's no earthly wisdom that comes ahead of it. We looked at 1 Corinthians, the first five verses. In 1 through 4, Paul's saying, I just determined that I was going to preach Jesus and Him crucified, because that's the only word that's going to produce power in your life. And I don't want you looking at me and saying, oh, how eloquent, how knowledgeable Paul was. And then in the last part of 4 and verse 5, he begins to talk about he preached the word in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And verse 5 continues telling us why he was so focused to do that. That our faith should not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. And again, it's just, we're seeing that how we view the Lord as the all-powerful one and have an awe and a respect for that, how we view Him and His power to act on our behalf today really makes a difference in our lives today. We talked about the fact that the power is important in the church today. In Acts 1:8, it tells us that we shall do what? Receive power when the Holy Spirit that has come upon us, that we may be what? We may be witnesses. And that's what I want to pick up on today. We need the power to be a witness, not to do witnessing, but to be that testimony of Jesus' good at proclaiming what He's done in our lives. Acts 2:2-4 talks about when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And we saw there were several manifestations of power. There was a noise like a violent rushing wind. Yet, to my knowledge, there wasn't one. So where there was some kind of supernatural power that created that. And then tongues of fire appeared on them from the spirit realm, power producing that. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as a sign of the Spirit coming on them. And that too is power, to be able to speak to the Father in a heavenly prayer language without knowing it. We need to see that as an element of power working in our lives. When we gather together all the little things where the power is working that we take it for granted, then we can have a totally different perspective of His power working in us. So today, I want to pick up as we talk about His power at work, not just toward us, but in and through my hands. So to do that, I'm going to pick up where we left off last week in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 5th verse. There it's talking about a group of people, and I might say churches even, who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. In other words, give me wisdom. Give me more wisdom. Teach me some new thing. Tickle my ears. But the power doesn't seem to be important today. And I think that's where many churches today are, and why I believe the Lord wants this to be so emphasized to us. You know, when they're saying, I want wisdom and we don't need the power, you know, that was for another day. That's when they needed to start a church. I just don't understand that. Because if ever we needed a demonstration of power, and we'll talk some next week also about some of the revival that's going on as we see what comes first. But power is a key part of it. And so what I want to ask is that really true? Do we not need the power today? Yes, we do. How do we know that? Well, one way we know it is the Lord says, I change not. So what those people are saying is that we don't need power is He's changed. Because when Jesus came, He revealed the power. When the disciples were sent by Jesus out, they revealed the power of God. So over and over again, we see this enforced, that the power is important for us today. You know, and some would say, You know, y'all talk about miracles and the power. We never see anything like that at our church. Do you reckon it's because it's not taught? Do you reckon it's because you don't esteem it? You don't hold it with a high regard? Because the word is clear. He wants our faith to be where? Not just in words, but in the power of our Lord. And that's so important. And that's why Paul, I believe, wanted our faith not in words, because he knew a day was coming. I mean, the Spirit was speaking to him, even as he wrote Timothy about the verse we just read. He knew some days were coming when the power was going to be trying to take it away. And I want to tell you, and this also will carry into next week, the devil doesn't want us to walk in that power. And you'll see more clearly how much he doesn't want us to do it. This is a big deal. But let me say what I'm not saying. I'm not saying focus alone on the power. We need to do what? We need to understand that the gospel of Jesus is both the wisdom and the power. Actually, it says power first and then wisdom in the scripture. Look with me at Acts 3, verses 6 through 8. The Holy Spirit has fallen. The disciples were told, you're going to be witnesses when this power comes upon you. And we begin to see an example with Peter in this verse and John. Peter and John are coming into the temple as to pray, as was their custom. And there was a beggar there, and he solicited them. They said, look at me. And this is the response he got. And boy, did he get more than he thought. But that's our God, able to do exceedingly abundant beyond what we ask or think. So he asked Peter for alms. And look at what Peter said. I do not possess silver and gold. I don't have it on me right now. But what I do have, I give to you. Notice this phrase, what I do have. He knows that there is something inside him that he possesses, and it's tied to the Word of God and the power of God. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. He just speaks words. Does that sound like how God created the universe? Does that sound like what Jesus said when the leper said to him, I know you can cleanse me if you will. And Jesus said to him, why, of course I will. Be cleansed. And it happened. Manifestation. So what happened then in verse 7? Seizing him by the right hand. Well, let me back up. Let me just start this repeating power again today. So when Peter spoke that, in the name of Jesus the Nazarene, walk. Can I just say power again this week? Power released. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. What is that? A manifestation of power. And then verse 8, and with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I want to say this, and I want to say it very clearly. The Father wants the power to work in every area of our life. Now, here in this verse, walking, he couldn't do that, so it's impacted the physical realm. Leaping joyously, his soul rejoicing. It's working in what? It's working in the soulish realm. That power is. It totally changed him. What did he have to be joyful about before? Not much. And then finally, and praising God. He's walking also in the power in that spirit realm. And that power is available for you and I today. You're going to see a verse in a minute that talks about what that power does in us. And I don't want you just to think it stopped there. Look at verses 9 and 10, because this is the impact of the power when it is seen. All the people saw him walking and praising God. They saw what? A demonstration, or the demonstration of the power of God. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit. I like that. He used to sit. And they began to think of him that way immediately. at the gate beautiful, or the beautiful gate of the temple, to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let me just read it this way. They were filled with wonder and amazement at the power that happened to him. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. They witnessed the power of God. And what did it lead to? It led to many believing. And it led to a great number of them not only receiving, but receiving so strongly that it just tore up the religious leaders of the Jews. And this is just like we're beginning to see today in these revivals that are sparking up at some of the churches. And again, we're going to talk about that a little more, I think, next week. As I studied today, I just felt led to share some things about that next week. In Acts 4, some of our favorite scriptures in these verses. Peter and John got called before the religious leaders. They were told, "Don't you dare preach in that name anymore." Now, I find that interesting. They recognized that there was something about that name that was different. And so look what they say when Peter and John come back and they begin to pray. They begin to glorify God for what they'd seen. Saints, this is important. That thanksgiving for God showing up on our behalf, we need to take note of it, this example, and we need to be that grateful. And it's not about me, and that's right where we're going in just a moment. So now they're praying, and listen to the words. "And now, Lord, take note of their threats." Didn't say stop it, just said, "See what they're doing to us." And then they say, basically, "Give us more of what just happened to us, even if it means they're threatening us." He says, "And grant that thy bondservants..." Now, I want to stop there. "Grant that thy bondservants..." They are saying, we're yours. We have given ourselves wholly to you. Wholly. And then they were made holy as they were sanctified and set apart. But we're doing this, Lord, as bondservants, because this is what servants do, the will of their master. So just think about that. Servants do the will of their master, and so were they doing, and so should you and I. "Grant that thy bondservants may speak your word with all confidence." That's us. "While you do extend your hand to heal," power, "and signs and wonders," power, "take place through the name of thy holy servant, Jesus." Now, saints, there's something wrong when the Pharisees and all the religious leaders can tell them, "Don't speak in that name," because they just saw the power of it released. And yet today, even in the church, we don't revere or hold in high regard, or we even take that name in vain. In other words, we don't associate power with that name. So what they're saying is, "Give us more of what we just saw as we speak that holy name of Jesus." "And when they had prayed," verse 31, "the place where they had gathered together was shaken." Power came. But it's not a normal earthquake, is it? "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak." Now, I'm saying power again for those two things. "The word of God with boldness." But let's go back to this power of this quote-unquote earthquake, where the place was shaken. I don't really think it was an earthquake. The Lord shook the building to let them know His great pleasure with them. And so it was a quake with no damage. He was what? Protecting them. And might I say, we'll get to another verse later on in this study, that Scripture tells us in Peter that we're all kept by the power of God. And that's what He was doing. He was shaking the place, and yet He was keeping them perfectly safe with no damage. Now, I want you to look in verse 33. Look at the impact of this prayer. Look at what they prayed for, and I'm going to say with expectations. They wanted to see this. Look at 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and abundant grace was upon them all. So the result was just what they had prayed for. Now, many look at this and said, yeah, but the power was on the apostles. Well, I take issue with that, because that power is just part of His grace. And this says great grace was on them all. Now, the disciples may have started it, but this is one of the ways we try to limit the power of God today by our choice, just like we talked about last week in Psalm 78, verse 41, where it talked about them limiting the power of God. But this is not what Scripture teaches. Turn over to Acts 6 with me. Just after this, the disciples are doing their thing, were seeing the signs and wonders, and the disciples were increasing in number. So other people were coming to walk as a disciple. And then they got upset because all of the widows weren't being taken care of. Now, listen to me. Taking care of widows is important. And you see it over and over in Scripture. So that is something that we all need to recognize. And so the disciples, the 12, summoned them together and said, look, we can't do all the work. We've got to study, we've got to pray, we've got to teach the word. And so they came up with a plan. And here's what they said, and I want you to see the fullness of this now. But select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom. Now, when I think about full of the Spirit, power just naturally comes to my mind. But didn't we also see wisdom associated with that? So power and wisdom, all by the Holy Spirit, whom we may put in charge of this task. In other words, they're going to set these guys over the Father's business, taking care of the widows. And verse 4 says, then we're going to devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. And this is where I wanted to get to, verses 5 through 8. And the statement found approval with the congregation, so they agreed with them, and they chose Stephen. And look at what it says about Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And then it lists Philip and some others. And they brought these, verse 6 says, before the apostles, and they laid their hands on them. And look at verse 7, what happened? The word of God kept on spreading. Power. Well, how did that happen? Well, we were about to find out. And it says the number of disciples continued to increase greatly, and even the priests were coming into the faith. And then I want us to look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power. Now, up here it said he was full of the Spirit and wisdom. But today, it's kind of, in this verse, it's kind of lumped all together under grace. Look what was happening. He was performing great wonders and signs amongst the people. Now, do you see Stephen is not one of the chosen 12? He's a person serving the Lord as a slave, as a bondservant, just like you and I are to do. And I want you to see that. But I also want you to note, for those, including myself, who would like to see the Lord work His power through us, I want you to see what came first. Did Stephen, was he full of grace and power when the disciples laid their hands on him? No, go back to verse 5. What do you see there? He was already a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. We get a clue there of what Stephen was pursuing. He was pursuing the Lord, and the power came as a result of it. So here we see someone who's not an apostle, someone who's just like you and I, serving the Lord. Go over to Acts 7th chapter, almost to the end, in verse, and I want to start in 55. It starts out being full of the Holy Spirit. So here's Stephen, after he's testified before the Jews and about to get stoned and put to death, and he's still what? Full of the Holy Spirit. And this is when he saw in verse 56, the heavens open and the Son of Man standing there. This is when he was martyred. Now, I just want to stop here. And I want to just focus on something that we've taught in times past, but maybe not recently. The word that is used for witness, of which we are to be, and I think you would all agree with that. If not, I'll give you a scripture in just a moment. This word in the Greek is martus, M-A-R-T-U-S. And it's translated martyr, but it's also translated witness. So when you hear this, when you think about the power going through you and how folks might react, well, what if, and like Stephen, what is your focus on? Is your focus more on being the witness? Or is it focused on what happens to some people when they do boldly share their testimony? Saints, we're called in Romans 12, 1 and 2, to be a living and holy, to present ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. The Lord doesn't need all dead witnesses. Everyone is not called to that. But we are all called to be a witness. And that power ought to be flowing through us. Verse 2 of Romans 12, after it says we present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, tells us, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may what? Prove what the will of God is. Does that sound like there needs to be a demonstration of power to back up the words that we're speaking as we testify of what we've seen God do? Does that sound like a witness who's operating in power? It sure does to me. And really, it's just one who takes on the desires of the Lord for themselves, and they own it, and thus they're just going to naturally share what Jesus has done for them, proclaiming the gospel, and power ought to come forth with it. Now, you say, well, Jesus charged the disciples to do that, yes, but he did that to us too. In Mark 16, 15 through 18, in charging them, just listen to what he said. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Is that you? It's certainly me, and so I take it as I need to be doing this. And look what it says. Well, it goes on and talks about that other group, those who disbelieved, those who thought it was what? Foolishness. 17 says, and these signs will accompany them who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, power. They will speak with new tongues, power. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it should hurt them. Power. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. More power. Saints, I believe this is what we are to do also. This is what we are called to be. And it starts by us having faith in this power. Now, James 1:21 says this. Says us to put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. I think King James talks about the superfluity of wickedness. And it says, in humility, receive the word implanted. The word implanted. And look what that word implanted is able to do. It is able to save your soul. There is a work of power that goes on when we choose to believe the gospel, the good news of Jesus in us. And this is who we become. Now, I'm going to share some things as we get ready to close today. And I want you to see the attitude that we each needs to have. Because the Father wants us all to be anointed to walk in this. And we'll really jump into this in more depth next week. But the devil doesn't want us to know this thing. Now, the warning I want to give you with this is I'm not asking you to go pursue power. This is not about yourself. You don't go and just desire power. There are no wizards or magician in the Lord, in the kingdom. And so my focus isn't to just do stuff on the power. My focus is to serve the Lord Jesus and be used as He tells it. Let me say it a different way. We don't do things by the power of God. Now, I know that may sound radical, but listen to me. He does the works through the hands of men. And He started this with Jesus. So John 14, the 10th verse, Jesus responding to Philip says, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative." And then He adds, "The Father abiding in me does His works." Jesus is saying, I'm not doing the works. Yet in other places, when they asked Him to come heal, He said, "I will come and I will heal." Because He knew the identity. But what came first with Jesus? The relationship with His Father. But then I want you to see in 11, He says, "I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves." In other words, the demonstration of it. And then here we go with 12 and 13 and 14, where He says, "And the same works that I did, you shall do also, and even greater works." And then He says twice, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do that I may be glorified." We've talked about that this past year. And then He says in 14, "If you ask anything in my name," in its command, remember that, "if you demand anything in my name, I'll do it." So I want you to have this mindset. I'm not pursuing power, but it's the Lord working through me. And we'll explain this more next week. Let me give you four scriptures and we'll conclude. Acts 5:12, it says, "And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place through the people." Now, what are we today? We're the Lord's hands and feet on this earth. He is working through us. And then it goes on and says, "And they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico." That's an important statement. They knew they were one with the Lord, but they also knew that it meant they weren't greater one than the other because they were doing what they had been called. Acts 15:12, "The multitude kept silent and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them amongst the Gentiles." Acts 19:11 and 12 says God was performing extraordinary miracles. Notable miracles, how? By the hands of Paul. 13, such that the handkerchiefs or aprons, sweat rags that he used in his trade of tent building, were even carried from his body to the sick, and disease left them, and the evil spirits went out. So this is power that flowed through him to a handkerchief. And then finally, I want to close with this verse, and this is where we're going to lead to next week. Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might, not by power," talking about human power, "but it's how? It's by my Spirit, says our Lord," to you and I. So I want us to just leave this week knowing the Father desires strongly for us to walk and operate in His power. However, that's not our main pursuit. It's by His Spirit. And that's where we're going to jump into next week as we begin to talk about the anointing at work in you and the power that comes with it. I trust this has blessed you. I hope it stirred you up even to look forward to next week's session. You're going to see why the devil went so hard after Jesus. It's because he was afraid of folks like us having what Jesus had. We love you guys, and we look forward to being with you next week.